engine. They keep it so clean. Who got health? The business flow. Mentors and they let them know. They're so unbothered. So unbothered. So unbothered. So unbothered. So unbothered.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm Audrey.
I'm Sarah.
And this is the hashtag
Unbothered podcast. Welcome back.
Yep, we are back.
Episode 4.
Kind of quick with between recordings, but we figured we'd just squeeze it in. And We have our first guest on the show today. This is my mother, Lynn.
Everybody say hi.
Yeah.
Hello.
And she volunteered as tribute.
Yep.
To be the first guest. So working out the kinks, but it's basically going to be a little question and answer based on a situation that she has gone through in her life. And I'll give a quick background of that. So when I was 4 years old, my dad passed away. And so she was widowed at what age were you?
23.
That's
crazy.
And she had me and my brother at the time, and she was pregnant with my sister, Kenzie. So a lot on her plate. She was a nurse at the time. And so we're going to talk about just how she went through all that and came out the other side and her resilience. And it's going to be a little bit heavy, so there may be some tears, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So...
Well, welcome, Lynn. Thank We're you. So excited to have you.
Don't cry already.
Excited to be here.
Gosh, bless.
Yeah. Well, you know, your story is, it's a lot, right? And I know coming on here and sharing, that's what I was just telling her. You know, if somebody can, you know, relate or get any type of just anything out of hearing somebody's story, kind of no matter what it is, but, you know, that's all we care about is just being able to share just what tough, awesome women have gone through and how they got there and just the outcome. So we're excited to ask you some questions and
I'll do my best.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit, I know Audrey kind of gave you a little, but tell us about yourself and just, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Just about yourself. Yeah. Nothing crazy.
I am a mom to 4 kids, ages 32, 30, 27 and 23. I have one precious little, I think he's about 18 months now, grandson. His name's Gunner.
Yeah.
Gunner.
He's my little buddy. I'm married to Brooke for 25 years now, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty close.
Yeah. A hot minute.
A while. Close to, this is our 25 year this year.
Wow.
This is my 30 year anniversary of being a registered nurse.
Amazing.
Getting up there in my years as a nurse.
Just getting close to retirement.
Maybe.
Can you retire whenever, like when you're a nurse? You know what I mean? You don't have to like put in.
I mean, you probably could, but I probably won't retire because I like what I do.
Keep going.
And there's so many options in nursing that I may just kind of continue to do some part-time things, but worked in a lot of different areas of nursing, lived in Springfield my whole life, might want to change that in the near future.
Grandbaby.
When my husband retires.
Since all my siblings have left me, they are all in
That's
different states.
Kind of
so.
Crazy.
I have,
you're the only one left.
Audrey's my only one left. I'm clinging to her for dear life.
So when she leaves, you're like, well.
I'm going with her. Just pack me in your suitcase. Your dad and I are coming with you.
That's right.
So I have my son Mitch and his wife Allie are in Georgia. My daughter Kenzie and her boyfriend William are in Greenville, South Carolina, Traveler's Rest, kind of right on the border of the two towns. And our youngest Claire and her husband Rick just got home yesterday from moving them to Southern Pines, North Carolina.
my gosh, they're all like southern, south.
Mm-hmm. All great areas. I love all the areas. So just got to get Audrey to figure out where she's headed, and I'll follow her.
No.
It's a mystery to me.
Okay, well, I will start out question one. Can you tell us a little bit about your life before you became a widow? So before all of that went down.
Oh, gosh. Well, my life before I became a widow was, I was pretty young. I was 23, so I was literally just like 3 years into my nursing career, two and a half years into my nursing career, just out of college, you know, and married to my high school sweetheart, so the person I dated for since I was a freshman in high
school. Okay, so you guys were together, because I don't know any of that. So you guys were high school sweethearts and together before that. Okay.
Yeah, so like from my freshman year, from 14 on.
My God.
So by this point, I'm 23. We had Audrey. She was a lovely surprise my freshman year of college.
I was a surprise.
That's what they say when you're an accident.
I was a surprise, too.
There's
it's fine.
Such thing as an accident. It's a surprise. A lovely surprise. And that was my freshman year of college that we had her. And we got married that year, and then 2 years later had Mitch, and then I was pregnant with Mackenzie when he passed away. So before that, I mean, you know, just normal growing up in Springfield on the North End.
Doing the things.
Yeah, doing all the Springfield things. And
new things.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Well, yeah.
It's just a running joke.
Oh, we love that. Okay, you go ahead.
Is it me? Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you think helped you show up for your children, even on the hardest days?
What do I think helped me? Mm. Oh, I don't know. I just always loved being a mom. So that was, it wasn't hard to do that for your kids when you love being a mom. And when that's like your whole thing you want to do in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously I want to be a nurse too, because that pays the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But, plus, I think just trying to, I have great family, so I'm really fortunate that we had great family members on both sides of the family, really, that supported us. And, you know, even on their dad's side after he passed, like his family was awesome. And they were always, you know, checking on us, involved with us, and they would still see the kids and be with the kids. And we would still do, you know, a lot with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have really supportive parents and aunts, uncles, cousins,
all the people,
sibling, my sister, and three really supportive best friends who, you know, grew up with me in high school and were my friends in high school and knew Scott, and we all grew up together. And so they all jumped in and like helped me too, because at the time I was the only one with kids. We were young, so none of them had kids. I think two of them were married shortly after that happened, but I mean, they were in a different place. So they were always coming over to help me with my kids and babysit, or just kind of do
the village to help everybody.
Yeah. And we lived with my parents briefly, for a couple years after Scott died, which was super helpful, 'cause I had my mom and dad there too. And so, I have one of those big Catholic Italian families that no matter what, no matter whether you want it or not, everybody's in your business and everybody's doing for you no matter what. So that was kind of like, you know, somebody was there all the time. So that did help. And I think just knowing that I need to be strong for the kids to get them through what we were going through too.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the biggest thing when you're a mom. Like if something, you know, I mean, I think about that too. Like, well, you still have to show up for your kids, and you got to do what you have to do to make sure you can, like, you know, be there for those kiddos.
Right, right. So for sure. Mm-hmm. You can't be falling down on the job.
No.
You got to stay strong for them.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I love that. My turn? Oh, yeah. Okay. What was your relationship like with your husband? How did you guys meet Future Pants? We kind of already went over a little bit of that. You guys met in high school.
We grew up both in the North End, so we were neighborhood kids. So running around, we'd see each other. His sister actually was my age, and so we had some of the same friend group too. So we would all hang out. So in high school, his sister and I were in the same friend group. We graduated high school together. So
is he older?
He's 2 years older.
Okay, 2 years older. Okay.
Yeah. So we would we would hang out. So of course, mm-hmm. you know, it was just, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, I was still riding a bicycle around the neighborhood when I met him. Oh, I did, you know,
I love it.
So yeah. So we just grew up together basically. And, we just had a great, big, huge friend group, and everybody, you know, went to high school together and stayed friends. Almost all of us have stayed friends even to this day. So
that's nice. Yeah. That's when you know you've got good, true friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you still.
It's kind of rare these days.
It is.
Yeah.
I have my two, you know, that from high school and grade school. Mm-hmm. And you all grew up in the same neighborhood. I'm telling you, the North End just bonds everybody together.
Yeah.
I think
we stick together.
Yeah.
On the North End. Okay. Was there a turning point when you realized you were beginning to heal?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when I met Brooke, that was like probably the biggest help in healing. Cause literally like he's a goofball, but he has like the biggest heart. So he was really good with, I'm getting all.
Yeah. And don't do
that's
that.
That's okay.
When she cries, I cry. Uh-oh. When I cry, she cries.
It's okay.
But that's fine.
That's fine.
Yes. But my dad took over. Well, I call him my dad, but when she met Brooke, I was, what, eight? Seven?
Nine. No, eight.
Eight. And he came in knowing she had three kids, was widowed, and took it on like it was nothing. Like, he stepped into the role and is just amazing. Like, I look at him as my dad because he raised me and he raised all my siblings, and he did a really, really good job of it. So,
which is pretty rare because he was coming like out of college, like single guy, never married, had no children, played college baseball down in Georgia. Like, you know, had a lot of like, just, it wouldn't be a matchup that you would think would happen, right? Mm-hmm. And we met by chance.
Yeah, how'd you guys meet?
I love this story.
Yeah. So, yeah, one of my three best friends, Lauren, so we were all out. Me, Lauren, Andrea, Brecklin, we were all out at the fair, the Illinois State Fair.
Yes.
And we went to a beer tent, of course, before we went to, before the Goo Goo Dolls concert, because the Goo Goo Dolls were huge back then.
Yeah. You know,
and
we loved them. At the fair, like, you know, years later.
Yeah. So this is like in the, you know, late, like.
What decade?
Early, like late night, early 2000s.
Okay.
Like around probably 2002, maybe 2000. Okay. I don't know.
Well, it would have been before Claire. So.
Yeah, it was 2000. It was right before Claire. So 2000. Yeah. Okay. Maybe 2000. Yeah.
Good year.
Sorry. The years all kind of.
They blend.
Pass by quickly and they blend. But yeah, so we went to the fair, the four of us girls, and we decided to go to the beer tent, the one that's right across from the grandstand. Mm-hmm. Well, my friend Lauren had dated a guy for many, many years, and like all through college and stuff. And so he happened to be in the friend group with Brooke, who I'm married to now, right?
Okay.
So, and his best friend, and so they all knew each other. She knew them. I didn't know them. Mm-hmm. And we ran into those guys at the beer tent. And she's like, oh, I'm going to go talk to Jake, which is George, Brooke's best friend, mm-hmm. and Brooke. And of course, I saw Brooke like in a all white, like collared, like polo shirt and jean shorts, which were popular at the time for guys. Now it's like shy away from the jorts, guys. Yeah. But jean shorts and these perfectly clean, like white Nike tennis shoes and super cute, like haircut, like flat top type haircut. And mm-hmm. I just thought, oh my gosh, this guy is so athletic and so handsome. And I was like, who is that?
Yeah.
And of course, she was like, oh, you're not going to meet him. I was like, oh, come on, let me meet him. She's like, nah, he's a player. Stop. And I was like, oh, no, I want to meet him.
That's so,
so then, of course, I go over. She introduces us. We're talking to him and his friend Jake. Mm-hmm. And then he is being very flirty and nice, and we're mm-hmm. talking and whatever. And I said, oh, well, hey, we're going to go to the office north, which now is like the VFW out north, but we're going to go to the office north after the concert. If you guys want to meet us over there. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, we might meet you over there. We'll probably come by there. And so that's all I know. That's the end of the conversation. I walk away with my friends. I'm like, they're going to meet us over there. She's like, yeah, right. He's not going to show up. Like, huge player, not showing up. And he tells me later that after we walked away, he asked his best friend, Jake, who is that? You know, tell me more about her. Well, he kind of knew my story because he knew my friend Lauren already. So he knew that I had three kids and that my husband had passed away and everything. And so he tells Brooke this, me not knowing that Brooke knows this information, right? So later that night, we go to the Goo Goo Dolls concert. We leave. We go to the Office North. We're all hanging out there. I'm like super excited, telling my friends he's going to show up any minute.
Yeah.
And at this point, our whole big friend group is there. It's not just me and my three friends. It's like all of our friends from high school. And he shows up. And I'm like, I told you, he was coming. He's here. So he comes in. We spend like the whole night talking. And I was pretty much like telling him everything about my life story. And he was telling me all about his, except I didn't tell him that I had any kid. I didn't tell him anything about my kids because I'm super protective of the kids. And I did not want to share that information at that point. And I didn't tell him that I was widowed or anything like that. So I think he knows nothing except what I've told him, right? So he says, would you want to leave? We'll go for a ride. You know, we can like talk and everything. And just something about him, like I would never want my girls to do that at this day and age, right? I would be like, do not do that.
Yeah.
But I was like, sure.
Yeah.
So we leave. We go for a drive. We go park at Indian Hills Park.
Yes.
And we sit there and talk till like 3 o'clock in the morning, just talking and hanging out and everything. And so I was like, pretty much the end of the night, I'm like, yeah, so that's like my life in a nutshell. And he's like, that's everything? That's everything you want me to know about your life? And I was like, yeah.
Nice try, lady.
And he goes, you sure there's nothing else? Nothing you're leaving out? And I said, no, there's nothing else. He's like, are you sure? I said, like what are you getting at here? And he said, well, what about your kids and your husband that passed away? And like just literally came out and said it. And I was like, jaw drop.
Yeah.
What? And he goes, yeah, my best friend Jake, he knew all about you. He, and I asked about you as soon as you walked away and he told me.
Yeah.
And I said, you've known the whole time and you didn't go running for the hills? Because you know.
Yeah, you, some would.
Just out of college, most young guy, no kids, you know, never married. Why would you want to, most guys would not want to take that on or even try to even go with the idea of even venturing into that world. So, yeah, I was kind of like, okay, wow, this guy's awesome. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's history. We dated ever since then.
I love that.
6 months later, it was literally 6 months. He proposed to me.
Oh, my gosh.
It was very short. It I was love like, it.
When you know, you know.
When you know, you know.
That's how my parents were.
Yeah. I feel like you just know sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know it's right. And so he proposed 6 months later. We did have a long engagement. It was like a year and a half engagement because I feel like it was a lot to plan a wedding with. We had three little kids at the time, right? And he was learning about being a dad. And it was just a lot. And we ended up building a house in Indian Hills, in the new part of Indian Hills. And so we were going through that. So we had a long engagement too, also for the people in our lives. Cause I feel like when we came up and said, yeah, we're getting married, the, you know, normally people are like, oh my gosh, that's so great. But there were a lot of, on both sides, there were a lot of, are you sure you guys know what you're doing? You know, you have three kids involved here and this is a lot and
it's quick.
You know, it's really quick. And you know, here we are 25 years later.
Yeah. Prove them all wrong.
And added Claire Bear to the mix.
Makes me so happy.
Yeah. I love that.
I do not like when people do that. You know?
Cause when you
like,
know, you know,
yeah,
you know, and yeah, sure. Sometimes it might not work out, but like I said, my parents were the same way. Six months, you know, started hanging out 6 months, I think got engaged, and then another 6 months got married. They've been married for 41, yeah, whatever it is, 42 years.
And I think you do feel like, you know, it's hard because you start questioning yourself when you have other people, like, around you saying, are you sure you're doing the right thing, you know? I mean, he had some family members who, you know, kind of knew, like, you know, he was a young college baseball player, and, you know, I think he had a lot of girlfriends in the past and stuff. And so he had like his uncle who he really loved and like his dad and his brother. And he would have a lot of, he had a lot of respect for those guys. And they were all like, hey, this is like serious here. You realize like this girl's been through a lot. She lost her husband. She has three little kids. Like this is like, you need to be
like, sure. You know what you're choosing, right?
You need to be sure what you're doing here. And he kept saying, yeah, I understand. And yeah, so it worked out pretty good. He's pretty good with the kids.
He's the best.
I love it. He helped us. He helped Audrey basically bring this room to life. Yep. So
I know. This.
He snaps for Brooke.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. Who's up? I feel like I'm
up. You're up. Number three.
Okay. Looking back, how do you see yourself then versus who you are now?
I'm way stronger. Yeah. Like, way more, like, unbothered.
Yeah, seasoned.
That's where she gets it.
Unbothered.
Yeah. That's where she gets it.
Apple didn't fall far from the tree on that one.
I am way stronger, and I've learned a ton just about myself, about other people, about, like, other people's situations, just what I'm capable of getting through, mm-hmm. like, when times are tough. I think I also, like, have been fortunate because I'm, like, faithful, like, in my belief that, like, God's going to get me through things. So, you know, I feel like a lot of people go through something tough in life and then you think, oh, man, this is awful. And, like, I'm completely lost. I have no idea how I'm going to get through this. I can't do it. But then I always feel like I just say to myself, like, this is a rough time right now, but I feel like I know, like, God's going to give me some kind of sign or something's going to happen mm-hmm. that's just going to be like, this has been on your heart, on your mind, and then, like, it's going to all work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually does.
Yeah. Does. And that's what you know can get you through that. You know?
Silly thing. This made me think of this today. This is so silly. I just bought this, like, little cute band for my Apple Watch, and I was like, this is such a great find at TJ Maxx because I can never find the right kind that I like, and it came with the faceplate. So I was super excited. Brand new. Got it. Got packed up to leave for North Carolina, got in the car halfway to North Carolina, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, oh, no, my faceplate fell off. I don't know what happened to it. And I was like, you know, like, oh, well, you know, it's just a faceplate. It's fine. But I'll have to get a whole new one because I'll never find another one to match it. I get home today, and for whatever reason, I looked down at the watch before I got home, and I thought, man, I wish I could find that faceplate. I went to throw something away in my garbage, big garbage cans outside my yard. Just walked over there, looked down. There it was laying in the grass. Not broken, perfectly fine. Popped it back on.
Stop. That's amazing.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, my God.
I know that's a silly thing. Yeah.
Because like, how many days were you gone?
Like seven.
Stop.
Like 7 days.
And it was outside?
It was outside. No one stepped on it. No one broke it. And it's like the path to where we have our outside garbage bags. So Brooke walks that way. Could have stepped on it anytime. Wow. Did not step on it. Did not break it.
He was looking out for you.
And I just was like, that's just a small thing, obviously. Yes. But I seriously feel like that. Like anytime like I'm going through a rough time or, you know, if my husband's going through something like where he's struggling, I just am like, you know what? God's going to take care of us. Mm-hmm. He always does.
Yep. Yeah.
He does.
Okay, number four. What was it like finding out that you were expecting your fourth baby while also grieving the loss?
Because
how far along were you, I guess, first of all?
Oh, with my third.
Yes, I'm sorry, third. Yes, like, yeah, sorry.
Okay. So, well, I already knew that I was expecting. He already knew.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 10 weeks, maybe 12 weeks pregnant when he passed away. So I wasn't very far, you know, I was just, I think I was maybe 10 weeks. So I was, you know, early and we had already found out, and he had like sent me like white roses, like a dozen white roses to work. Cause I was working like 2 12-hour night shifts a week in labor and delivery at the birth center at St. John's at that time. And, so he had sent me flowers to work and everything. And then, so, I mean, it wasn't like a surprise that I found out I was pregnant afterwards.
Yes.
So I kind of already knew, but it was not a good time for me. It was really horrible actually. Yeah. 'Cause I do not have easy, pregnancies. Like I have hyperemesis. So I spend most of my pregnancy up to like 8 months,
sick.
Like vomiting, throwing up, you know, feeling nauseated. And the stress of all that, coupled with that's always how it was before, made it even worse. I mean, it was like a constant problem. I had a couple of times where I was like getting dehydrated. I had to get IV fluids. I had bed rest for a while because the stress and everything all complicated things by making me, I had like a partial like previa and abruption where I had like bleeding during the pregnancy. And then I had to like be on bed rest for a period of time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Cause it's a lot.
Well, yeah, that's probably from the stress and the trauma of the
situation. And then again, it was like that. They told me this is probably going to not resolve itself. You're going to have to stay on bed rest the rest of the time. And because, you know, sometimes if you have a previa and it's right in front of the cervical opening, it like doesn't, it won't move sometimes, but it can move.
See, I don't know what that is, I guess. A
previa. So it's like where the placenta is in front of the cervix. So you'd have to have like a C-section.
To have it move,
because you can't deliver normally. So they, and I was having like spotting and bleeding from it and everything. And then they told me like, you're probably going to be on bed rest and you may have to have a C-section. Well, again, God came through for me. It like resolved itself.
Cause how far along were you when all that, like the bed rest, if you
remember? I was probably further along than, not real far along, but not quite, not 20 weeks, maybe close to 20 weeks, but not quite. And then that resolved itself, and then I wasn't on bed rest anymore, and I was, like, able to have a normal delivery, and so, yeah. And then we got Kenzie out of that whole deal, and she's pretty great. So.
She is.
She's my, I call her my wild child, but I think she's more like my flower power hippie child.
She's
like
a free spirit.
Unique, free-spirited, like. She's herself.
She's got good vibes.
Individual. Yes. Very good vibes. Yeah. Very good vibes. So.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. But that was, you know, it made the pregnancy much harder.
So, okay. What advice would you give someone who is newly widowed or going through an unimaginable loss?
I would say don't isolate yourself. Lean on your family and friends, let people help you. Because I think a lot of people don't want to accept help. That's hard for people sometimes, or they just get so depressed or so angry that
like
they just
stuck
like,
in their life.
Take it within themselves and they just kind of shut themselves away from the world. That's not helpful.
No.
For me, that wasn't helpful. For me, it was like having, like trying to keep some semblance of normalcy and have my daily routine with my kids, which was super helpful to me too. Being busy with the kids and focusing on them was good for me because it gave me a purpose.
Yeah.
And letting my parents and my in-laws and everybody help us was important too. And my friends and just everybody.
Your village.
Yeah, my village.
Gotta
which
have
is a big,
village.
Big old village.
That's good though. That's, yeah. That's what everybody needs, I think, you know, in general. But obviously when something, you know, happens like that, I mean, you can't get through it by yourself.
No, and I think, like, they did the – this is a small community, really. I mean, it's a smaller, big – bigger –
it's that's what we say. It's a small, big city.
Yeah.
But it's, like, this community was awesome. They, like, put on a fundraiser for my family, for me and – the kids after Scott died, like people from the city, where he worked, he was a lineman for the city.
Okay.
And like, they just like did a silent auction, a live auction, raffles. They brought in all this food and had this huge benefit and, you know, raised money to help me with like expenses. Because I mean, at that point I'm down to like one income. I really can't work because I'm pregnant with Kenzie and having all these issues, right? So I had expenses. I, at this point, like she's got, you know, she's got to go to St. Aloysius. I got to pay for Catholic school tuition and, you know, all the, just anything, just everyday expenses, car payments and utilities and all that. So I do feel like the community was awesome for us too.
That's amazing. That they did
so nice.
Yeah. They really rally behind people when it matters, you know?
Yeah.
They do.
Okay. How did you navigate being both a grieving wife and a present mother at such a young age?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I just focused on like being the best mom I can be and putting my kids first and always trying to make sure that their needs were met and that they were the priority. And that, I mean, you know, I don't know.
You kind of answered some of that in the previous things. You know what I mean? Like just being able to keep going for them, putting them at the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just having everybody help you figure it out along the way.
My son always jokes with me. He says he's goofy, but he always says, "Oh, you just love being a mom, don't you?" He'll tease me and he'll say, "You just love being a mom." He goes, "You just were born to be a mom, weren't you?" He goes, "You just love it."
I mean, it's sort of a joke, but it's real.
It's not a joke though. And I think he knows it's not a joke, but it's like, they tease me because like, that's been like priority number one.
Because you mom
for me.
So hard.
Yeah.
She moms like helicopter moms.
Right. And that's what I was going to say.
Right.
I have a friend who also lost her husband and has three kids, and her kids and our kids have all been really close growing up. Mm-hmm. And her brother kind of stepped in and helped her a lot. And he was amazing and a very doting uncle. And his nephew played baseball growing up through the years with Mitch. And so they're still best friends to this day. So, they would always tease us. They would call me helicopter mom. They would call him helicopter uncle.
I love that.
So, I mean, I probably am helicopter mom. I'm probably too much for a lot of people, but I'm not apologizing for it because I don't feel bad about trying to be the best mom I could be for my kids.
Yeah.
She's an unbothered helicopter mom.
Right.
Amen.
I'm also unapologetic for being that way because I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I don't. And that's why you're the perfect guest, because that's what we're trying, you know, we're trying to be. Audrey's really great at it. She gets it from her mother, obviously. Being unbothered and unapologetically herself. And I've always tried to be like that, but I struggle with it. So that's why
I think that's
we're here.
A role Audrey's grown into, though.
Yeah.
I don't think that Audrey always was like that.
No.
Not at all. I think she is now.
In the past 5 years, I've grown into
that. Yes. Which I love that. Yes. And that's what, but that's what's great, is because that's where I'm trying to go, is growing to be the person who just doesn't care. Mm-hmm. Because I care like so hard, and it's so annoying, you know? Cause like, just get over yourself. That's what I tell myself. Get over it. Like, who cares what people think? But I do, for whatever reason. So
yeah. And I mean, I do too, to a point, about certain things, but when it comes to my kids, my family, no, I don't care what you think.
Yeah,
like, not I'm gonna cross her.
I'm gonna do me.
Oh, she's gonna do her.
My kids are.
I love it though.
My kids are important. They're most important things.
And I feel the same way too, though, with my kids. You know what I mean? Like, I would go to bat for my kids more than I would like go to bat for myself. If that makes sense.
Same.
Like, I don't care. Like, if someone's like messing with my kid, like, watch out.
Right.
You know, I don't like. I'm caught. Like, I just
She's going Karen on him.
Yeah.
I'm
she loves to go Karen. Anytime I have a problem, I'm like even if like my cousin was having a problem with her student loan not too long ago, and we're like, let's just put my mom on the phone and pretend to be you, and she'll handle it, no problem.
Yeah,
like, she will handle it to the point of like, they'll give her like they'll write her a check for like money.
Yeah, I love it.
They'll be like, listen, this is for your emotional like trouble and like damages. Like, this is what
she does.
It's a
good
skill. I'm here to help. I'm here to help.
Yeah.
Okay, I think, is it me?
Is it your last one?
I think it's me.
Okay.
Okay, so if you could speak to your younger self, that version of you in the midst of pain, what would you say to her now?
I would say, good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a pat on the back.
Yeah.
That's what I would say, I think, mostly.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
She did pretty darn good. She's got 4, I would say, successful children and strong, resilient children and happy children. And yeah, I mean, it's all because she pulled her bootstraps up and she raised us the best way she could, and given the circumstances, and she found an amazing man to be beside her and help her raise us. And yeah, we're all very grateful for that. So
yeah,
I feel like I'm like proud of myself for that, and just like think, okay, well, I made it through that. Now we're moving on to the next phase. Me and Brooke, we're moving on to the Gigi and Papa phase.
Empty nester stage.
And empty nest.
And empty nesters, yeah. But, I mean, we've kind of been...
like that, I guess, for a while.
Sort of kind of dabbling in and out of empty nesters because the kids with all the moves and everything.
Yeah.
There's been kind of in and outs, back and forths after college and then
moves.
But, I mean, now this time we really are fully empty nesters.
Like, everybody's settled, yeah, and you're on
grand and now it's like we're moving life. Into Papa on Gigi role, which we love. So we just have our little gunner to dote on now all the time.
Just wait till you have, like, six.
I know. That's what I feel like is going to happen. We're going to have a whole bunch of grandkids at one time, and it's going to be
all
awesome.
All these girls got to get rolling.
They will.
I'll be the last one.
All in due time. I know. It'll happen like it's supposed to.
It'll be exciting.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much for coming on today and sharing your story. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Love you, Mom.
Love you, too.
All right, y'all.
See you guys later.